welcome to our comrades from Mangaung Metro. I think that we should start. Welcome, National Treasurer. And I think just like yesterday, we are not having a hearing in the classical sense, because the people appearing before us are our enablers, people who give us information that assist us to do our work. Comrades will recall that in the last meeting we had with the office at National Treasurer responsible for public procurement, we had agreed, having heard from their report, that they were going to produce certain reports in relation to Eskom, Transnet, PRASA, that would want to engage them when those reports are in place. The only challenge that we've had has been time. You'll recall that they were supposed to have given us all these reports in November, end of November last year. All of them. PRASA, Transnet, Eskom, can't remember whether we had SABC as well. Then Mr. Chitangano said, no, we are not done, maybe end of January. January came, we called, no, we are not yet done, and we're like, no, this seems not to be getting anywhere. But I think we had a glimpse of the challenges that they had when we went to the SABC. I'm sure, Comrade Bo, you will remember the letter, which had, I think, over 10 letters towing and froing between National Treasury and Communications, from the DG to the Minister, and still no documents being sent from the SABC. We'll also recall when we were meeting with the Transnet, when once again, when we asked about the report on Transnet, it transpired that there was a lot of difficulty, which over almost 2 years of toing and froing, documents are just not forthcoming from the department or from Transnet. And there was a commitment by the minister that she will assist to ensure that the necessary documents are provided to National Treasury so that the necessary reviews can be completed and then we could have our report. I'm not so sure in the case of Eskom, but I think we've been reading a lot in the media about the toing and froing, implying that those entities that National Treasury is investigating are very, very reluctant to cooperate and produce documents. We would have loved to have got all the reports at the same time so that we can decide. If out of the report, comrades, there is nothing, well, it will end there. But if there is something, then and only then can we say, Transnet, Eskom, come, can you explain yourself so as to clear the issues that are out there. So we are not finding anyone guilty today. We're getting information. Just like yesterday, we got information in then we must decide what do we do with that information. So without, did I see your hand up? Yes.
Morning, Chair, thanks. I hear what you are saying. Yes, we're getting a report today, but the concern that you have, just articulated now, is the concern that we have. I mean, if this report was supposed to come before us in November, and we're only getting it now because the entities are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. That's why it was going to be better if we became exemplary by calling one of them, maybe ESCOM or Transnet or any of those entities that you've spoken about, Denel, to come with them and hear what is the real issues and how important it is for us to get those reports, or for them to be giving the information to Treasury as they're supposed to. So if we're saying it here in this meeting, it don't carry weight that it was supposed to carry when one of the entities was here. So it's just an advice that maybe to try and make sure that they speed up the information that we are looking for, is to have them on board so that they can tell us why are they delaying. For instance, any one of those entities that we've spoken about, the reports that you're supposed to give us today, and we don't have those reports. We should have had one of them, especially those who are problematic, to ask them, why are you delaying the process? Thanks, Chair.
Comrade Shilwane.
Treasury is a good friend of us, but also Treasury must take responsibility. You see, it's important that you, Chair, through your office, you get the correspondence that indicate the nature of problems. You see, I know you've always been asking Rajatanga from here that what is the situation, so that through our parliamentary strength we would be able to either send a clear indication to the department to respond to Treasury. You know, we've got a summoning power, and we could have long used that summoning power to get them to respond, you see. Because you see, also with SASA, we are faced with the same situation now, you see, where SASA says, no, we're waiting for Parliament, we're waiting for Treasury. You know, we should not allow ourselves to be used like that, you see. Where there's something that needs our attention, I know you're very efficient as a leader of the, and a chairperson of this collective. If there's a correspondence, you'll bring it to our attention and we see how we process it quite faster. So I'll just appeal to Treasury to give recognition to your office. Whenever there are things that are supposed to come back to Parliament, let them know them and indicate to you that maybe because of the work we do, we couldn't attend to it immediately. But let them put it on writing so that the pressures that you are getting through, from pressure from other departments, with an understanding that you are attending to these matters, they're not postponing them. These ones who have been waiting and waiting, and when the Auditor General sadly comes back again and don't want to condone or don't want to respond to their issues, they start blaming scorpions if we are not doing our work as parliamentarians. I'm just appealing to all of them, let them put these issues in writing to you, and when they are in writing, not in a conversation when you converse, because even Transnet, they were converse, it was a conversation. We're questioning other issues, and suddenly the issues of Treasury came up. So it's important for every department to put things in writing, or also for Treasury to put things in writing that are outstanding, so that we could be guided and could be able to guide the committee about how things are getting slower. If they don't, we know we've got the summoning power. They will quickly come here without us asking them.
Comrade Shilwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to echo what my other colleagues have alluded to mention the issue that you have mentioned in terms of cooperation within the entities with Treasury. To say now, if they are here to brief us on this one of ESCOM, then was it solved in terms of them providing a report, providing those documents or whatever information that was needed through to them? And then it will then now bring us to the question of asking
the status of the report? Is it a complete one? Is it an agreed upon between the two, between the ESCOM and Treasury? Then it's a question that, so that we are able to preserve the integrity or the reputation of the committee. We don't want to see ourselves into wanting in terms of what is it that we are being provided. So just to clear that one, Chairperson.
Well, I don't think that's a fundamental problem of ours. They are presenting a report. It is their integrity that will be at stake, not ours.
I agree. Just to mention the point of the thing that you have mentioned, that a report was not, well, the cooperation was much more less, like she has said, Honorable Chapsing has said that we are agreeing that you said the report, we've been waiting for the report since 2016 in November, and now it is May.
Yep.
I think it hampers the work of the committee and in terms of how the state entities should work. So I'm just want to highlight that issue, Chairperson.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Comrade. Comrade Kekane.
No, Chair, mine is just a clarity. Whether is this a preliminary report or is it a final report? Because if we are to deal with a preliminary report, it might be problematic. But all what I need is just confirmation whether it is a final report or a preliminary report. I'll then make my input, that is again, after getting confirmation.
Comrades, I thought we're here to listen to National Treasury, and can't we just listen to them? Made their presentation. I'm trying to come to your level. To understand why only yesterday the AG gave us a report about department, and we had that report with us before. It mentioned all the departments that were wrong. We did not call them. AG spoke to us, and we're now going to decide which department to call. So I'm seeing the same process here. I really would like them to talk to us, and then let's evaluate the information that they're giving us, and then take it up from there. I really would Comrade Vincent.
Morning, Chair. I have no problem, Chair, with us listening to the report. I have no problem with us listening to the report, Chair, and I think that we should maybe afford them that. I'm just maybe following on Kekan, seeking clarity, because there's been a precedent set, Chair, that in the past, Treasury has come to give us a report. We then took a decision, correctly so, that report has merit, and then called the affected departments to come and talk to us on the basis of that report. And even before we started, there was a dispute around, well, Treasury is not independent. We will only engage on this report once we've got an independent report, meaning from the AG. And that process was stalled, and I think it's still stalled to today. So the question that I'm raising, Chair, after having listened to this report and on the basis of the report take a decision to engage with whichever entity it is, how do we overcome the problem that we faced 6 months ago where the department came and said, thank you, you've listened to Treasury. Treasury is Treasury, but it's not independent. We will come back when we have an AG report. So I'm just seeking clarity on that point, Jeff, because it is a precedent that has been set before. I didn't agree with it at the time, but we were overruled. So I have no problem listening to Treasury, but I'm not sure that on the basis of what Treasury gives us, we will be able to then interrogate. And that is why I think my colleague before me, who said it would have been wiser if both Treasury and the Department was here, because then we could engage with both of them. But the Department has not been called. So I don't have a problem listening to this report. I just want to find out from you if, after hearing Treasury, or maybe when Treasury does their presentation, how do we overcome the precedent set not even a year ago, where they did a very similar presentation with damning findings, and as we speak, it's still in limbo.
Well, before I give the three comrades, I hear your point, comrade. The difference in this particular instance is that National Treasury itself reported to us that they were doing an investigation on a number of entities when we're dealing with the Central Chief Procurement Office or officer. And we ourselves expressed an interest in getting those reports. And one of those reports is here in front of us. Ideally, we would have had all those reports at the same time and then decide which one of those reports do we follow up and which one do we feel, okay, it's all right, we'll hand you, there isn't anything into it. So, ESCOM is not audited by the Auditor General. It's audited by Sizwe Baluba Kobodo. It's not. Comrade Paul?
No, I was just going to advise Chairperson, let's move forward and let the management quickly meet again to rearrange everything that has now beginning to be a bit of a... I mean, comrades can suggest how we handle it, but I think the management committee must just finalize the process itself. Quite clearly, there's comeback in all the issues that are being raised. We just have to reorganize the programming itself.
All right. Comrade Kuno?
I wanted to add on what Comrade Vincent was saying earlier on, that what is different with AG's report is that all parties would have been part to write that report because they signed, I guess, at the end of the report. So coordination is very important and it's very key, Chairperson, and communication for that matter. So that's why we want to make sure that we don't necessarily get into a witch hunt. We don't get into a witch hunt. We get into the facts of the matter. But the two parties, we should make sure that the two parties are on board. So that after we deal with that report, we can then say, this is what we are. This is our way forward as a committee. But if we do not have the sense of the two parties, then it becomes a problem. So it becomes a problem one-sided, but we're not sure if ESCOM, if they did, interact with ESCOM or got all the reports that they were looking for in order for them to come and compile the report that we are going to peruse now. But if my colleagues are saying we should carry on, it's fine. We are carrying on, but then what happens then after? Because ESCOM is not here. They are credible. I'm just saying because I didn't receive this report last night, so I'm not sure if how is it going to end up with. So that's what I'm saying. The reason why we do not have problems with the Auditor General's report is that the two parties, both parties, get involved as part of writing that report.
No, that's fine. I would request, comrades, that maybe let us proceed, but take into account the issues that you have raised and say, going forward, how do we take some of those elements into account, so as to strengthen our processes. In terms of how do we deal with a report from National Treasury. So when National Treasury reports, we say you report with the affected party at the same time. You don't report to us, and then we call the affected party later. I think that is at a procedural level, maybe the part that I'm hearing coming out. And I'll say it is an element that we'll incorporate going forward, since we still have three or four outstanding reports from them. Can we take it at that, comrade? I would really believe that let's get the content of their input, and if there are issues that they want to raise, I think we should be able to do so. I want to plead with the three comrades whose hands are up: Ross, Mente, Kekan. I've made a suggestion that let us move forward if we can help it, please. Yes, Ross?
Chairperson, I support the suggestion. It's not a hearing, it's a briefing, and I think the responsible thing that you've done is correct. After it emerged in the media that there's a preliminary report from Eskom that's leaked and this was the consequences, it was debated on TV. It was in the public domain, and the responsible thing is to call Treasury to give us a briefing so that we can hear directly from Treasury what the position, the status of the report is, as Mr. Tika, as my colleagues has mentioned, which is the responsible thing is to listen to the report, to engage with Treasury, and then to follow the procedure as you outlined. Thank you.
Mente.
Thanks, Chair. No, Chair, we are not against your advice. What I would like to suggest is that after the briefing and everything, can we as a committee have a meeting to deliberate on these issues so that we do not repeat a situation where we have a department that is supposed to assist us and then we deliberate on who was supposed to come with or not with. Ideally, the briefing would take place amongst ourselves and the Treasury in closed doors, and then we meet with whichever department is concerned together with Treasury again, having gained the knowledge and the experience of facts about whatever concerns we have. So can we have a meeting amongst ourselves after this to sort out all these things?
Right. No, that's fine. Comrade Kekane, please, Ndate, Ntusi, you always help me. So,
no, I want to help you, Chair. But I think Comrade Mente said exactly what I wanted to say. Because going through the report, there are a number of areas that are not clear. And hence my question that is on the status of the report. Now to engage on a report that is not final, it is a problem. I think, Chair, it would have been correct for us that is to have a meeting with Treasury privately before we publicly discuss these issues, because they have got serious implications that is on Eskom. Hence my biggest concern that we deal with these issues, and some of us we are going to openly raise some of the issues that Treasury is raising and would be seen that is to be taking sides, that is somehow. Now my view is if you allow us that is to have a closed meeting that is with Treasury on this issue, then I'm comfortable.
Well, comrade, no. I would really appeal that I think Comrade Mendes' suggestion. Let's take it on board, because you see, to have a closed meeting, you must apply, because in terms of the very laws that we have passed here, any activity of Parliament must be open to the public. And if you're going to have it closed, you must apply and then give reasons why. I mean, what you're dealing with at ESCOM is non-compliance. Why should non-compliance be a secret thing? I mean, really. So I really, please, that let us continue.
Listen, I thought that you have acknowledged all the weaknesses of the process.
Yeah.
It does install the meeting. I mean, the closed meetings in Parliament are very rare these days. It's a very difficult process in themselves. So let's proceed, Chairperson, and let's raise the concerns. We will deal with the matters, as I've said, and as Comrade has been suggesting, after we've listened to the Treasury.
All right.
Let's deal with the Treasury issues, Chairperson.
No, our democratic tradition, let's talk, let's agree. Wumsan, can we proceed on the basis and understanding that has been established? And I think right at the beginning I expressed my concerns that in a meeting like this we're expecting all the reports. But I think we're going to tighten our process to make sure that everything is speeded up. Yeah, let me hand over to you so we can proceed. Well, you can introduce yourself and your colleague. It's only the two of you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. My name is Solish Tangan from National Treasury.
My name is Fugan Ndaba from National Treasury, or CPO.
As an introduction, the report that we are presenting, if you have received the copies, you'll see they are not National Treasury report per se. When we, just to give you a background, we started looking at the transaction or the coal contracts in 2015. With ESCOM. We requested a number of coal contracts and we received documents in around July, August 2015. Then we started doing the review. The same time during September 2015, also ESCOM engaged PricewaterhouseCoopers to also look at certain contracts. There were four. But one of the contracts which was covered in the PwC report was the contract that we were also looking at. And PricewaterhouseCoopers issued the report. It's dated 26 November 2015. And then we continued with our engagement with ESCOM. By that time, we were not aware that PwC has finalized its report. We issued the draft report on the 12th April 2016. And then ESCOM responded to that report in August 2016. Again, PricewaterhouseCoopers was engaged around September 2016 to do a follow-up audit on the previous audit that was done on the 26th November 2015. The second report was now issued on the 10th of November 2016. When we came to Scopa last year, August, November, on those engagements of the irregular expenditure, we were still engaging with ESCOM on the finalization of the report that we have issued as a draft and which we also copied the committee in a press. and so that you may be aware of the progress. In 2017, when we requested additional documents, we were given these two reports, the Pricewaterhouse reports dated November 2015, and the Pricewaterhouse report dated 10 November 2016. And you'll see in our report, because you wanted this regulatory report for some time, some of the findings are already in this report. That's why what we are going to do is to indicate to you to say that the report that you were interested in, even though it's not final between us and ECHO, but there are reports that are final. And we are just going to take you through those reports that are final to say here are the issues that were raised in this report. And then we take you through those findings that are there and management comments, because they've already commented they're raised. And then as the committee will decide on the way forward to say, after you have gone through the reports that are there, the findings are there, obviously, they commented, they can't change. They are there, and there's a follow-up report. You'll see the outline of our presentation there. We'll take you through the coal supply agreement, which was between Eskom and the, or is still between Eskom and the Geta. Then we will take you through the findings and the comments, which, if you look, we have given you a number of reports. You will have a copy of the coal supply agreement. You will have two PwC reports, the one dated November 26, 2015, and you will have the second one dated 10 November 2015. Then you will have other important reports that are supporting those, the Dr. Alfen report dated March 2015, and the other one dated October. All these reports we have just given to you because they support those findings that are in the report. Then we'll go to the site visit observations, which is there in the report. Then we'll indicate to you what was the main recommendation in that report, and the implementation, and the fact which we are saying at least the committee should be able to establish from ESCOM. If you look at the report, the first report dated November 2015, you'll see when the report was done. If you get this report, you will not know which mines were being reviewed. You find this mine one called AC, mine two called D company, B company, E company. In the report, only abbreviations are used in report one. But in report two, which is dated in November, then you start seeing names of those mines to say which mine was AC, which mine was B, which mine was B, and which mine was A. Correct. They have this stuff. You have two reports of this one. There's a bigger one, which is dated 26. The next page you see is dated 26 November on the letter. And then you'll have the smaller one, which is dated
Chairperson, trying to make sure that the members of parliament have got the correct report, you see, so that you are able to follow what is going to happen here.
there are two PwC reports.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's a bigger one. The next page, when you turn it, is dated 26 November 2015.
2015.
Correct. And then you will have the lighter copy,
smaller one,
which
yeah.
is correct, dated. Yeah, dated. With the second page, when you check, is dated 10 November 2016.
All right.
I will talk to both of them, but we will start with the 2015 one, and then we'll go to the 2016 one.
Can we make sure that one has the 2015 copies, Toby? The one with the lady, I'm sure we all have it. Okay.
This one is not there.
All right, no, that's fine. Let's go into the substance. Tommy will be sorting out the 2015 copy.
But it will be fine. I'll take you through, then they will make copies to you if it's not there. But we'll highlight the issues that we... Just the background, you'll see when you read the 2015 report. This type of procurement was what we call unsolicited bid. In other words, you don't invite competitive bidding. And it's covered in ESCOM policy. You allow any company that has got a mine to come and approach you and say, I have got a mine, and this mine has got coal. In this area, I can supply this power station and this power station. And then the processes will start. And in other words, there will be meetings between the company that is proposing and ESCOM officials, which if you read the report, you'll see there were meetings between 9 May 2014 and 30 January 2015. The company called Brakfontein Colliery, which owned by Tageta, was issued with a water use license by the Department of Water and Sanitation on 22 December 2014. And then the coal supply agreement was signed on 10 March 2015. Then the supply of coal commenced from 1 April 2015. Then there was a time that the coal was suspended. 5 days. That was from 31st August 2015, and it was reinstated. When you look at the coal supply agreement, I think you will be having that copy of the coal supply agreement. It's a document like this. We have just extracted. It may not be necessary for you to go, but we have just extracted paragraphs that are important, which we want you to go through. You'll see there's paragraph 2.1.15. It talks about coal quality management procedure. It's defined, or it says, is the sampling analysis principles and procedures set out in Annex A, as well as the procedures referred to in clauses 20.4 and 22 of the coal supply agreement. The reason I'm highlighting these definitions is because when we go to the findings and comments, then you'll be able to understand what they are referring to. The second extract from the coal supply agreement, you see it's paragraph 2.1.21. It says contract coal. It means the coal originating from pre-certified stockpiles made up blend of SIM4 upper and SIM4 lower. They use a blend of two. There's what we call for upper and for lower, and what was agreed that they will be combined and blended, and then they will be supplied to ESCOM, provided they meet the specification. The next slide is also an extract from the coal supply agreement. This mining right, which was given to the getter through Brakfontein Colliery, you can see the mining right is F209073/001. And then it's granted to the name of the company. It was in 2010. And the other portions that are covered are clearly indicated on the slide that you are seeing now. Then what we are showing you next is the extract from the mining right to show that indeed the company was given a mining right which covers portion 17 and 27 of the farm Brakfontein, and this mining right you see on the next slide, it was going to expire on the 25th of October 2020. Now, the next slide, we are going to take you through what in the report, what were the findings of the PwC and what were the comments from ESCOM. The first one, the finding there in the report, which you see, if you are coming in as a supplier in terms of ESCOM policy, you must come via what we call the supplier development and localization. And they will do the pre-qualification and supplier registration. And the first finding says that was not done. And then management responded and said, correct, it was not done. This was an oversight. You'll see what management is saying in their comment. Then the second finding was that the evaluation team selected did not complete the declaration of interest forms. Earlier I indicated that the meetings to consider this proposal happened between 9 May 2014 and January 2015. When the committees or the members were meeting, it's standard, like when you have a bid evaluation committee, a bid education committee, before they start deliberating on issues, they must declare interest, like what Auditor General was saying yesterday. Some government employees, even though they are declarations, they will just tender without declaring. In this case, there were no declarations when the PwC was reviewing. You can see ESCOM's comment, it said it's correct. A formal declaration of interest process is now being implemented. It means during the time when this contract was entered into, there was no formal declaration. In other words, you could not get it. Then, finding number three, you see they indicate no evidence was provided that the team underwent the required training on the conflict of interest policy. The primary energy division staff members have undergone FX training now, which shows that during the time when the this contract was finalized, that was not done. Then you will see when you read the finding number four, they are using the code names which are used in the report, which I referred to. They'll talk about the F and Y, which you will see the names in the...
Supervisor, my apologies. The slide that you are just talking about, slide number 12,
The finding.
Yes, the finding. Not here.
I don't know, unless if it when it was printed, that it was slide number 12.
Yes, slide number 12.
Not there.
Not there.
Just
not
a
here.
Minute.
I don't email it there, but I couldn't open my email.
Can we? All right. It will be from Dombey and Ben, not from National Treasury. So they're sorting that one out.
Correct. These are the findings, and these are the comments already given by the institution itself. In other words, we are only taking you through. This was the finding, and this was the comment.
I hope you are not creating an impression that because the information is not here, when members of parliament are asking for it, because they have to, yes, they've read the other documentation. They just want to be able to follow the processes quite correctly, you see. So it's not an antagonistic relation, but the point is the information has to be quite following the sequence of what they're presenting. That's why they're concerned and expressing their concern.
Yeah, no, that's being attended to by our staff. Yeah, it is being attended to. All right, let's proceed.
In this slide, it's the main finding there. There was a report dated 12 March. That report was issued after the contract was signed. The contract was signed on the 10th of March, 2015. Then on the 12th of March, there's a report, and that report was saying, if you combine the SIM 4 upper and SIM 4 lower, and blend them, that coal will not be suitable for Majuba Power Station. Unless if it will be processed further through washing. But if you're not going to wash it, then the recommended will be only supplying Eskom Majuba Power Station with only four lower instead of combining the two. You'll see what we have given. It's an internal report also from Eskom, which was issued by Dr. Alfin, dated 12 March. It's indicated there. I've just taken the extract of that report, but the report is attached there. When you read the recommendation, it's very clear to say a mixed Brakfontein S4U and S4L will be suitable for Kendal and Kusile Power Station. And sending a mixed Brakfontein S4U and 4L blend to Majuba and Matla Power Station is not recommended, as there is a high probability that the mix will frequently exceed the Majuba and Matla rejection. What he quoted
what the PwC report is quoting is what was contained in that report, which the report is also attached. But if you look at the management comment now, which is on number two, management responds by saying, management was unaware that the report indicates that it was not recommended for Matupa Power Station, for which it is contracted. Management will review the reports and act accordingly. Management was unaware, Management was unaware that the report indicates that it was not recommended. The report dated 12 March was also supported by another Dr. Alfen report dated 5 October 2015. If you look at the last line in the in that slide, it says producing a blend of raw S4L and raw is not recommended for Majuba, Tituka, or Matla Power Station, as there is a high probability that the resultant mixed pre-certified sample will periodically exceed Majuba, Tituka, and Matla 240 specification. A blend of washed S4U and raw S4L, or sending only S4L is preferred for Majuba, Tituka, and Matla Power Station. Those were internal reports which ESCOM was aware, and they were made available to PwC when they were reviewing the contract. In the last recommendation of that report dated, which 5 October 2015. It's the report that you have. What the report recommended, because it was issued when Pricewaterhouse was audited, and they indicated that this report should be given to Pricewaterhouse and it must be given to external auditors, so that when they audit, they should have those reports. The next finding, which is finding five there, you see they indicated we were not provided with the latest detailed closure cost assessment reports. Then if you see the management comment there, it ends up by saying if the environmental team should, have the report. If they cannot produce the report, the findings will stand. And the report was finalized like that. It means the environmental team may not have given the report. One key finding which you see is number six, which says the health and safety evaluation was conducted 8 days after the contract was signed. The on-site was conducted 2.5 months after the contract was signed. And management, when they responded, they said health and safety checks could not be performed as the mine was at the time not operating. The checks could only be performed at least 6 weeks after the mine became operational. Finding seven, you see, during technical evaluation process, we found that consistent and multiple bend tests were performed, three in particular. The last two were dated after the contract was signed. The management disputed that, and they indicated that the signed combustion report was probably signed only afterwards, but it was done. Then you see in finding number eight, There appears to be discrepancy in the dates of the environment and the legal report. The first page of the report shows the effective date as April 2014, while the second and third pages show the effective date as March. And then management says, no, these were the mistakes. All reports were signed in 2014. Finding number nine is just a repeat of the one that I've already raised. Health and safety report was finalized 2.5 months after the contract was signed. Health and safety checks could not be performed as the mine was not operating at the time. The checks could be performed at least 6 weeks after the mine became operational. But unfortunately, by that time, you could not cure the non-compliance because before the contract was signed, the health and safety report should have been done. But unfortunately, because the mine was not operating, that was not done. Then finding 10 says the technical report was finalized after the contract was signed. You'll see that the technical evaluator was present during the evaluation negotiations and all his views were noted. He only signed the report later as he was not available at the time. Finding number 11, you see, although requested, the commercial and financial evaluation report was not provided to us. We also could not find any evidence that a financial modeling and evaluation process was followed, or a clear commercial motivation for entering the contract on the commercial terms provided. And ESCOM responded by saying two meetings were held with the supplier, in which a comprehensive financial discussion was performed, including financial models. A spreadsheet was compiled and projected on the screen for all to comment. Finding 12, three negotiations meetings took place prior to the pre-qualification requirements being met. They indicated there to say health and safety function was not represented at any of these meetings. Supplier development and localization were also not included during the negotiations meeting as required by ESCOM supply chain management procedure. And then the response or the comment was saying supply and development and localization plays an oversight role during negotiations and they did not always attend the meeting. But health and safety checks could not be performed as the mine was not operational at this time with the same other information that we have already talked about. Here now they come to the coal supply agreement itself to say if you look at the contract is poorly formatted and contains numbering errors. For example, paragraph 10 is duplicated. It contains irrelevant or unreferenced information. The contract contains ambiguities. The coal quality management procedure, this one, it contains obligatory requirements referred to in the body of the contract is in draft, incomplete, and not yet agreed or implemented. The comment was that the contract was compiled with the input from LIGA and the Primary Energy Division, PED's Primary Energy Division. What they were talking, if you go to the extract of the coal supply, when this is duplicated, you'll find that there's clause 10, which talks about conditions precedent, and again there's clause 10, which talks about coal quantities. In other words, the clause 10 is duplicated. That's what they were talking about. We're just showing you so that you can see from the coal supply agreement. This is also an extract from the coal supply agreement, which if you look at the 21.53 there, which was saying no manual resampling of stockpiles shall be allowed, including reprocessed or out-of-specification stockpile. You see this funding will come again because of the whole quality management procedure, which should have been finalized early when the contract was implemented, but unfortunately it was not. Then, under funding 13, you see there's a number of them there. An addendum to the contract dealing with a change to call quality parameters in the form of a letter addressed to the chief executive of a company, and that has not been finalized. Then the response was that PED, Primary Energy Division, is in the process of developing a revised standard conditions of contract. That could be the reason for the inconsistency in the Braakfontein Colliery CSA coal supply agreement. Finding number 14, you see, it was stated that the procurement was performed under the 2008 medium-term coal procurement mandate set up originally for emergency coal procurement. During an update of the Board of Directors Tender Committee in 2010, the mandate was extended and to contract for life of mine, to extend current contract and power. And powers with sub-delegation authority were granted to the Divisional Executive Primary Energy Division to execute. PwC was, when this was presented to the board, the board did not approve. They only noted. That's why management says management interpreted the board minutes, which read noted, as providing approval as requested. Then, the next the first part will be the same thing that I have covered in the previous slide. This one is also, another key finding that you'll find. What if we check at bullet number 3 of this slide, it says the relative percentage in the price escalation basket differs from the prescribed basket mandate standards. Together with qualities and price per energy unit, price adjustments are critical financial parameters in multi-year contracts and justify tight oversight and consideration. No rationale from deviation from standards was provided. The response was saying suppliers push back on standard escalation basket, and the Primary Energy Division is considering new standards. In other words, which we see in most of the contracts that we review, you find that there are standards that a tender was advertised. But when a contract is concluded, the terms of the contract are not concluded in line with what was prescribed in the tender or what is prescribed in the standard. But in this case, when you read the report, you'll see the standard was saying there will be 10% fixed, and this other amount will only be increased by consumer price index only. But when the contract, that is the basket that the Pricewaterhouse was talking about, you can see it on the slide there. You'll see there's fixed 10%. If you read from the bottom, and then you'll have the profit and the capital recovery. But in the prescribed standard, it will say CPI, but in this one now there's PPI, which is producer price index. And the report says they deviated from the standard when they signed the contract. and there was no rationale given for that. And the reason management says, obviously, supplier pushback, in other words, they are able to move the standards depending on whether the supplier are able to push them to a certain extent. The key finding is also here in number 50. The second bullet there, the coal quality management procedure containing obligatory requirements referred to in the body of the contract is in draft, incomplete, and not yet agreed or implemented. And management says the coal quality management procedure, CQMP, was not signed as some of the conditions it is, such as the fact that the mine had to have automatic sampler, could not be fulfilled as the supplier did not have one yet. That was in November 2015. The contract was signed on the 10th of March 2015. The contract, the coal supply started on the 1st of April 2015. By the time when they issued the report, that coal quality management procedure has not been signed, which is very key because it determines what must happen with this. You'll see the extract from the coal supply agreement, clause 22.2, which says the supplier shall be responsible for the sampling of coal and associated costs. In this regard, the supplier shall ensure that acceptable automechanical sampling equipment is available for sampling of coal and shall be responsible for the maintenance thereof. If you read some of the minutes that we have attached, the minutes of the technical committees between ESCOM and the company, you'll see after this review, which was in November 2015, from January, February 2016, in the meetings they were talking about this auto sampler to say the company must be requested to explain why the auto sampler was not installed, because it should have been installed early. The coal specification was amended in a letter from the general manager for fuel sourcing to Tegeta Exploration and Resources. The letter amended the quality criteria as already discussed, and this amendment could not be enforceable as the contract specified that both contracting parties should agree in writing. They said management is considering the recommendation that the Braakfontein Coal RCA be drafted and re-signed by the parties. 16, this was also raised, a formal handover process between the coal sourcing manager and the coal supply.
I'm trying to follow the presentation. All what you are saying is not in this document. Can we be assisted?
Which slide is there?
All the slides that you have referred to, they are not here.
Yeah, I said no.
That is why some of us...
No. Direct to me.
Oh.
Because it is Tombi who is supposed to make copies. She's not here. She has gone to make those copies. So if they are not here, it's us, it's our administration, not National Trade.
No, I hear what you're saying, sir. Now, how are we going to follow this presentation?
No, suggest. I mean, earlier on I said Tombi is not here. I'm told she has gone to make copies because the copy I have is the same as what you're having.
You also don't have?
I also don't have it. The one I have is incomplete. So that's why I'm looking at this thing at my screen to be able to follow.
Now, I thought that maybe you'd give us direction. Is either we wait for Ntombi because how are we going to make an informed that is contribution? Because the presenter is, talking on something that we don't have. I understand that the problem might be on our side, but at the end, we are the ones who must make contributions.
Correct.
Tombi?
The whole house is waiting on you. Thank you.
Okay. So we do.
Give us a copy of the contract. So should have signed the contract. To the judge. But they were supposed to have a new contract now.
Okay, comrades, we apologize for the delay. We now all have the. Yes, can we proceed?
The findings that we were talking about, if you check the 2015 report, they are from page 38 to 43 of that 2015 report. There are two PwC report, Chair. I don't know whether now they have both two copies. The one dated 26 November 2015 and the one dated 10 November 2016. Then the findings that I was presenting, they are from pages 38 to 43. In other words, we were just presenting them as they are in the report. We are not adding any cent above that. The other finding which came from the site visit It's also on page 38 of the report, paragraph 5136. They visited the mine, and what their observation, they're saying, Brakfontein Colliery, because they were, just to remind you, there were four mines that were reviewed in this report. I'm only concentrating on the Dageta because the request says Dageta, and the Dageta is the one that we were reviewing. And it says Brakfontein Colliery was in construction or development phase and make use of a subsidiary company with limited coal mining experience. Brakfontein Colliery has no coal beneficiation facilities. The mine crushes and screens various ROM, run-of-mine. ROM is run-of-mine stockpile for different markets. This report is at November 2015. And then it says, according to the GM of the mine, they supply to Eskom only for Sim Lowa coal and the rest to various other coal mines or vendors with washing facilities that blends or washes into other quality specifications, which obviously the statements differ from what I've shown you from the coal supply agreement, because the coal supply agreement extract shows very clearly that they supply a blend of four upper and four lower. There were so many other recommendations, which some of them you will read, but the main recommendation that was there was that a technical and legal review of the Dageta Exploration Resources Pty coal supply agreement is urgently required to inform ESCOM's actions relating to further implementation and management of the relationship with the supplier. This situation could well provide ESCOM with leverage in finalizing a range on unresolved issues like insisting on four lower SIM coal, insisting on supplier implementing a coal washing plan if coal SIMs are going to be blended, and finalization of the CQMP, which is Coal Quality Management Procedure. This recommendation was in that report dated 26 November 2015. Then, in 2016, around September, October, PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, was also again engaged for the second time to do an assessment of the weaknesses that were revealed in the 2015 report. And during that time, they also looked at the implementation of the main recommendation, which I've already indicated there. And the response now in the report dated 10 November, which you can see on page 12 of that report, the smaller report, the coal supply agreement by that time was not sent to ESCOM legal department for review, as combustion test results and approval for modification were required. And if you see the extract that we have taken below, it shows that there are some matters where the implementation date is future date, and as such, certain controls or actions have not yet been implemented or action. For example, it says mine. The Brakfontein coal supply agreement will be sent to ESCOM Legal to be reviewed by 31st March 2017. This is the report that we were just highlighting the findings from the PwC report, and what we are saying is that the process forward, SCOPA may need to establish the following. Was the 2015 PwC report considered by ESCOM management? If yes, which effect?
On a procedural matter, sir.
But
yep.
Yes. No, I thought that this page is not necessary. You can't tell us what to do. That's very unparliamentary and undermining us. Don't do that. You can't prescribe the scope of what to look for.
All right.
We're dealing with fair matters.
All right, no, that's fine. Let's leave it at where it ends in terms of the review. It's fine. Yes, Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks to... Hey, I always have a problem with the same name. Sitangano. Yes. Thanks for that, Chairperson. Chairperson, ESCOPA, it is our duty to make sure that compliance, it's not it's not compromised. And we are saying where there is non-compliance with Treasury regulations is a problem. A lot of entities have what you call their own regulations. I know that some of the entities in water affairs as well, they had their own regulations. And our problem was that why was it not aligned to what the Treasury regulations are so that we are all on the same path when you're doing things. I still say, Chairperson, reiterating what I said earlier on, that we should have had ESCOM to come before us and actually agree or disagree to what we have written in here. I'm not a technocrat, Chairperson. No, I'm not. I'm an expectant. I have expertise on cause and the quality and all that. And if you just read through the report, I mean, it was difficult for us to actually concentrate because some of the pages we didn't have, which was the concern that the chairperson rectified immediately. But if you read the contents of this report, I don't think ESCOM could have replied the way that they've replied. I'm not saying the report that you are giving us is not a true reflection. That's why it's important for us to have the people who would come and talk to the report, because if you're having a report, Chairperson, and the people that you are saying are at wrong, are not here, it's a problem. The first thing, the report is a draft report. It's a preliminary report. And he has said that when he started that other reports are not yet concluded. And the problem and the problem that we've been trying to talk to all the time is outsourcing of government resources. You have outsourced this to PricewaterhouseCoopers as treasurer. Am I wrong? Because you are intimidating me.
Yeah,
with
no, he's saying you're wrong.
Okay.
It was ESCOM that outsourced.
That
yes,
has outsourced.
It's ESCOM's report.
Okay. And I remember we spoke to them about that. But there are so many wrongs when you go through this report. That's why it would be better for us. I think my suggestion, Chairperson, is for us to take this report back, go and read it as COPA members, and let us find a date as soon as possible to have ESCOM appearing before COPA to come and talk about the report. And some of the information that you said is still needed, they have not supplied that information. We must make sure that that information is also given to you so that you come and give us a report. Because, I mean, we cannot make any recommendations about the report because it's piecemeal. It's not everything that was asked out of Treasury to be dealing with. So I'm saying that let's go flag this ring report and then have ESCOM come in here. Thanks, Chairperson.
Let's see your hand. No. Oh, all right, Comrade Kikan.
No, thanks, Chair. I agree with my colleague.
But my biggest concern is not Eskom per se. My concern is this malicious compliance. If we have taken a decision that we need a report, let's get a comprehensive report so that it informs us when we make a decision. Because unfortunately, I have gone through this report, and that is last night. To be honest, I could pick up that there's information missing in the report. And it was very difficult for one, that is to prepare, that is for this meeting. I would request National Treasury that in future, please, if we request you to provide us with information, please provide us with information that would assist us, that is, to make an informed decision. That's my plea, Chair.
All right. I'll start from Ross and come this way. I'll start from my left and go to the right.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I understand correctly, we're now debating whether we should engage with Treasury still further today. Is that the agenda? Because my opinion is that we should really take this opportunity, engage constructively with Treasury, see what we can find, make the notes in terms of their presentation, what they presented, in terms of their answers, and then later engage with ESCOM to clarify those engagements. So my proposal is that we proceed with questions to Treasury and get as much information as we can so that we can follow-up meeting with ESCOM, constructively engage with ESCOM.
I thought that's what you're going to do. Because, no. She has made a suggestion, a very firm suggestion, that listening to the presentation of Treasury, we need to call ESCOM so that they can talk to the issues that have been raised. That's a suggestion. She did not have any questions of clarity to National Treasury. If you have any, ask them. I'll still give you the opportunity to.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I then engage with Treasury as
sure.
on the report? Chairperson, it's quite a lot of documents. And if I understand correctly, we are most of the information, and please just give me some guidance, deals with the first contract with Eskom and Tegeta, which is the date of March 2015. Now, this was Tegeta's first Eskom coal contract, but my question is, was this an unsolicited bid, and it was it an open tender in terms of it? Clearly, from the documentation that was supplied, is that it was an unsolicited bid from Tegeta that engaged with Eskom, and they were never invited to take part of the bidding process. And then a follow-up question with regards to that would be, in any of the four current contracts that Tegeta has with Eskom, did they participate in competitive bidding processes in any of the four contracts currently held by Eskom? Chairperson, that would be my first question. And then I have a question in terms of the value of the contracts, which was unfortunately not presented. The National Treasury reports indicated that Eskom has blocked from expanding to extra coal supply contracts to Tegeta. And then if I can ask with regards to the value, if you can give us an indication that the Tegeta-owned Brakfontein Colliery asked for another 2.94 billion to be extended. Now, the question is, we need clarity on terms of this expanding from 3.8 billion. Does the 3.8 billion include the 2.9 billion, or is it an additional amount that was asked for? So we have to establish, Chairperson, for the record, what are we talking about in terms of monetary terms on these contracts? And I think we need some clarity in terms of, is it close to 7 billion, which is a very big amount, or is it close to 4 billion rand that we're talking about in terms of the specific contract, the first contract? Then in terms of the quality of coal, can I just ask them, if I understand correctly, would you describe this as reject coal, insufficient and rejected coal being supplied to a power station? And what would the consequences be of that for the paying consumers of South Africa, electricity consumers? If you can give us an indication. And then perhaps in terms of the Eskom, and this could later be a question to Eskom, are you aware of any resignations from Eskom with regards to people that worked in Eskom that you would like to engage with in terms of quality of control that were perhaps suspended? Chairperson, then
no.
I can just ask if I can go to a second
contract. Just a minute.
Okay.
Yes, point of order.
Point of order, Chairperson. there was a suggestion which was seconded. And now we're going into discussion. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid from the beginning, the witch hunting part. And I'm not convinced that this is not witch hunting. And the type of questions that have been asked, Chairperson, I mean, the suggestion was that let us allow ESCOM to come and, what is it, present the report to us. I mean, if it's a report from Treasury, it should be owned by ESCOM as well. Some of the things that are in this report, they don't make sense, Chairperson. We've gone through the pack that we gave us yesterday and what he has presented this morning. So I'm saying, Chairperson, let us flag this report. It's not a full report. Some of the questions or the concerns that members would have right now, maybe that the concerns that have been taken care of already if the report is finalized. So the report is not finalized, Chairperson, and I don't think we'll be doing justice to discuss it in this meeting. So there was a suggestion and which was seconded, Chairperson. Are we for that suggestion or what are we doing? Is there anybody opposing that suggestion? And what is their input?
Honorable Chairperson. No, that's fine. Comrade Kuno, your suggestion I think is supported by everybody. But my understanding was that the suggestion does not preclude anyone asking any question for clarity. But I think what you are raising is if we raise questions that require responses from ESCOM, National Treasury should be able to parry those and say, look, let ESCOM ask those questions when ESCOM is here so that it can clarify you. But if there's any clarity that is sought in terms of information, what does this mean? What did this mean? What is the implication of this? Such questions can be asked, but the questions that seek justification, why this was done, by whom and how, I think those are for ESCOM to respond to if we all agree that ESCOM must come.
It's another point of precedence.
Chair, I don't know that point.
I will clarify it, Chairperson. No, Chair, I'll clarify it, Chair. Chair. I really plead that we do not compromise our own integrity. As COPA, we have been briefed on numerous occasions with information in preparation for a decision, and whether we call ESCOM or call AYZ or call SASA or call whoever, that's the precedence. And I would want to believe today is an information establishing meeting. And let us be allowed to ask the questions which enable us to make a decision. Chair, one of the first pages of the presentation here tells us that it was ESCOM that commissioned PricewaterhouseCoopers. Recommendations have been made here to ESCOM. We need Treasury, as far as I see it, has taken the time to interrogate this report, look at it, and they have teased out issues for our benefit which they believe are going to enable us to make a decision. They've put a slide up there which Honorable Boyers put them on a point of order to say don't come and dictate to SCOPA, and we agree with that. But the side of the coin is that it's an indication that the report has been interrogated. Therefore, let us ask the questions, Chair, because that's what we have done previously. Secondly, Chairperson, I do not believe that we set a good precedent if we want to now begin second-guessing the work of National Treasury. I would want to caution and, you know, for us to guard against that, because if we venture down that slope, we compromise any other work that we do. So I really, really believe that let us allow the process. And if Honorable Ross has got questions and any other member, let him ask. I think Treasury is competent enough to say, no, that's not in our domain, as the Chair said. But let us really, really clarify the confusion, which some members are saying the matters are ambiguous. The point of this is to clarify that ambiguity, in fact, so that if we take the decision and take, then if we take that decision to call ESCOM, then we call ESCOM, but we need to do so from an informed position.
And that means asking questions. And we're going to ask questions, Chair.
Chairperson, point of privilege.
Point of privilege. No, Chilwane is on the floor. Chilwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree that honorable members are saying maybe we are out of order. But, Chairperson, if we want to set a president of this committee and protect the integrity of this committee, we should be fair in doing things, Chairperson. We cannot, we asked the question earlier, that is this, what is the status of the report? And the report is a preliminary report. And there was also a say of saying the report has been leaked. Unfortunately, I didn't see the weekend papers. It has been leaked. So are we based our work on something that has been leaked? Hence, we're saying, he said, Mr. Chitangano said, this is part of some other part of the report. It's not the complete one. But then the argument now, Chairperson, is that are we going to take this report and decide what is it that we're going to, the outcome of the meeting that we're going to agree upon? Are we going to call ESCOM or what is it? I think that is what Honorable Kuno was saying, that what is it that we're going to say? Are we saying we continue or we reflect this report so that we go back and then we sit as a committee? Honorable Mende suggested that after the briefing, I don't know if I'm quoting you, after the briefing, we should meet and discuss what is it. But now, Chairperson, with your guidance as a Chairperson, questions are now coming in, and questions are coming in terms of ESCOM, Chairperson. I was expecting that you as a Chairperson should be able to guide, as you always guide us, if we ask questions that are not supposed to say, no, ESCOM can answer their own questions. But Chairperson, you waited until she said a point of order. So I think that's what I just want to say, Honorable Hlengwa. I think it's something that we always agree as this committee. But it's not that we are setting a president. But as this Public Accounts Committee, we have always agreed that we are a non-partisan when we are doing our own work. For us, it's to protect the public funds of South Africa and be objective. That is what we want to do, Chairperson. We can't be seen taking sides. We agree that Treasury and AG, as of the briefing us yesterday, that their work is to assist us, to enable us to do the work as we suppose, as expected. We are not questioning what National Treasury is supposed to do. No, we are not questioning what AG is supposed to do.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think,
I'll be patient, Chair.
Continue to be patient.
Today,
I'll come to you.
Today is a briefing.
Yeah.
It says clearly in the program, it said members had this program long before. This is a briefing by Treasury. We are supposed to protect the public purse. Part of protecting the public purse is that when we fly Treasury down from Johannesburg to come and see us, from Pretoria to come see us, we don't waste their time and our time. I believe there's absolutely nothing wrong with us interrogating Treasury today, asking them for explanations based on their report, their presentation. As you said earlier, if they can't answer something, if they say that's an ESCOM demand, then they tell us that. I just get very nervous when colleagues don't want to engage and don't want to get answers from other entities. Colleagues, there's something going on here.
Okay.
The bottom line is, why can't we have an open, frank discussion with them? Get their answers and then take it on board. We're obviously going to have an ESCOM hearing. That's going to happen. But let's get all the info we can now.
Chairperson, if I may conclude on my questioning. You see, Chairperson, the first contract was entered in 2015.
Okay, let's do this, Ross. Yes. Just a minute. I just want us to just tie down this procedural thing. Just switch off your mic, please. Do you want to come on the procedural issue? Yeah. I'll come back to you.
Chairperson,
also the value that we add is when we respect each other's opinions, you see. Yes, there are challenges in how we're handling the matter now, but at the end of the day, let every member be allowed to follow the process. And the process that was suggested quite early was like, would listen, and after listening, would take questions. And then after that, if you don't have a question, you don't have a question, just keep quiet, is that it? Because it's not going to help us really to try to make things totally different, you see. We have had this thing and these processes for a very long time with different entities where there is an awaiting of what they have come up with, and then we take questions upon them. If you're not satisfied, we express a point of view. And then after that, you allow other members also to express their point of views, and then we come to a conclusion of the meeting. If we're going to handle ourselves in the manner we're handling ourselves, and you are also making a ruling, because you also have to be very firm that what we expect us to do now, and make a firm decision. If you say, let's proceed with the meeting, let's proceed, and we'll take the challenges as they come. And those that have got questions, let them be allowed to ask their questions, you see.
All right. No, that's fine. Comrade Kuno had come in whilst Ross was still talking, and I had given the direction that let comrades raise whatever questions they have, but if we feel that these questions need escort, we will not want National Treasury to second guess, because then they will be giving subjective answers about an entity that can answer for itself. So what I'm expecting, and which I have patiently done throughout, is to allow you to have your say without any interruption. All of us. It's only Comrade Boy that I intervene from time to time. I was listening to his questions, and there were those that I was going to say, no, why don't we allow ESCOM to answer for themselves? So unfortunately, you were not yet through. So can you just conclude?
Thank you, Chairperson. In conclusion, I'd just like us to look at the time frames in terms of the contracts, which started in March 2015, and we're now in 2017. Now, my question to Treasury is, it's a clear indication, and that's an observation that I'm making, that there was non-compliance in terms of the supply chain management prescripts from Treasury, that we've seen that the Public Finance Management Act, in my view, has been transgressed, and in terms of irregular expenditure that could be constituted since 2015, Treasury should have taken certain actions in terms of their own regulations being flaunted. Now, my question to Treasury is this. Did you take compelling reasons? Did you ask ESCOM to provide compelling reasons why are they not participating in a competitive bidding process in all four contracts that is currently being investigated?
All right. I'll leave it to Treasury, but I think maybe the last question is the one that resides with Treasury. The other ones, they are not very technical. I'm sure ESCOM can respond to them as and when we get them. I'll come to you. No, I'll come to you till last. Let me go this way, and then I'll come. Just a note. Tim, do you have your hand up? No, Hlengwa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll be very brief. On the first slide, I mean, not first slide, in the first, there's a presentation that is now the unupdated presentation, let's say that, the findings and comments, I think it's item 14, wherein it was that it was stated that the procurement was performed under the 2008 medium-term coal procurement mandate set up originally for emergency coal procurement. During the update, the Board of Directors Tender Committee in 2010, the mandate was extended and expanded to contract life of mine to extend the current contracts and powers with sub-dedication authority were granted to the Divisional Executive Primary Energy Division to execute and so on, and it reads. Now, the on the side is that management interpreted the board minutes, which read, quote-unquote, noted, as providing approval as requested. Now, I would like, because I gather that to be a very grey area, and I would like to Treasury to take us through in their view, in our interpretation of the law, application of the law, whether that constitutes a transgression of the PFMA, and whether any subsequent action that took place after that the noting was seen to be providing approval as requested. I just want to get a clarity in terms of that very, very briefly. Chair, the second point, to move on.
Is it a point or a question?
No, it's not a point, Chair. I just had one question and one point, a throw, Chair. To say, yes, let us call ESCOM. I fully agree with that notion. And to say, Chair, I doubt that we are now dealing with leaks or a witch hunt and so on. We now have official information presented before us, which I now believe forms the solid basis for us to have a meaningful interaction with ESCOM and for National Treasury to continue teasing out some of the issues, and let us then apply our minds in terms of how we move forward. So, Oranje, Chair, I believe it is in the interest, in the public interest, to bring this matter to a logical conclusion.
Okay.
Whether it's in the papers or it's a leak or it's a rumor, because it touches on the lives of our people, let us rather provide a legitimate platform where fact and fiction, fiction and non-fiction will be separated,
right,
and then move forward. Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Comrade Mente.
Thank you, Chair, at last.
Well, at least you're not waiting for Godot.
Okay. Now, Chair, not as much as we view this in different ways, I would like to think that this is not a speculation right now, because there is no way that Treasury will bring speculation. And then there is PwC report. But then to Treasury, my clarifications that I am seeking are the costing. This is from your perspective, these are the procurement processes and how they were flouted. But can you also add the numbers? Because our duty is to protect the public purse. Are we talking about 7 billion, as it was speculated in non-media, or are we talking about 10 billion? How much has this taken from the purse of the public? And also, in terms of the advice that Treasury must give to ESCOM, is it in a financial health status that it can provide that much money? Another thing is the price negotiation process. Was Tegeta the only company? Were there no other companies that approached ESCOM, as it is allowed within their regulations that any mine can approach ESCOM to provide whatever they need? But were there no other mine companies that have approached ESCOM in order to check prices, if this is the right price with the right quality? Because at times, the low price does not necessarily mean good quality. So were there, those avenues, were they really checked? And then lastly, Chair, on the finding 6 and the finding 12 on the report, it's page 16 is the finding 6, where it stipulates the health and safety evaluation process. as much as we are SCOPA, our duty is to protect the public purse, but we are also parliamentarians that have to protect the environment and our people. So during your presentation, you also made mention of the coal needed to be washed. That means a lot of water has to be used. And given the status of our country where water is concerned and our reserves in terms of water, was it seriously not a problem for Eskom if they have to look into the environmental affairs of this country? Because they cannot only check the price, but they must also check the affairs of the people. Isn't it going to affect the people to use so much water to wash the coal that Tegeta has to provide for the Eskom work, whatever they are going to do with the coal? Thank you.
Comrade Chilwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first one, it will be to add on what Honorable Mente has asked on the issue of water. When Treasury spoke earlier, they spoke about the licensing of within the Department of Water and Sanitation license, something in 2015. Just to establish in terms of those specifications in relation of the two, the Department of the Water and Sanitation and Eskom, how did it relate in terms of the licensing part of it in the environmental sector? The second one, Chairperson, it will be on the review process which the Treasury is engaged on in terms of this report, to check the National Treasury provisions in relation of the supply chain management framework. Which are those, just to get the specific policies which ESCOM did not follow in terms of this review report as being tabled. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Comrade Sukunov.
Chair, I had a problem with the health safety issues, and I think some of the questions that have been asked here, I'm covered by that. I don't want to go and repeat those questions. But, Chairperson, I think we've worked well as a committee so far, and it would be wrong to send a wrong message out there and to say to the people to the people of South Africa that there are other reports that we process in SCOPA and there are others that we protect. I think that is wrong, and that's not where we come from. The reason why we went through the process that we went through right now is because what you have said as well when you started presenting, that this report is a draft report. It's not consolidating all the reports. That it makes it difficult for us to go through that report when we don't have the whole information that we needed. So it's not because we're fighting. We want to root out corruption, and that's exactly what we are going to do as SCOPA. We'll root out corruption. You will hear when ESCOM comes here. We are not protecting any individual at the expense of South Africans out there. We can never do that, and it can never be allowed. Treasury has been some of the stakeholders that are helping us as a committee to make sure that we do our job without any hiccups. And we appreciate what they are doing because they are paid to do what they are doing. We are all deployed in different areas. And I don't think we are here to criticize what the job that they have done. But the main thing is that we want to have a full report, because if we don't have a full report, then we are setting a wrong precedent, Chairperson. We'll have this thing again next time. What are we going to do? You know, so that's why we have to come with, because this is a public platform. Everybody's listening to us out there. So if we don't have full report, what then happens next time? So we cannot set wrong precedents. This is the first time that we come across this problem. So it should not make us fight over something that is unnecessary. And like we have dissenting views. We are still fighting corruption, and we will root out corruption. Thanks, Chair.
Comrade Tekane.
No, thanks, Chair. I think let me also amplify what Comrade Thabiseng said in terms of how we value that is National Treasury and AG. If you look at all our meetings, you have been providing us with information that enabled us, that is, to deal with the issue of corruption. Unfortunately, we are not going to keep quiet if we request information from you and you don't provide us with the necessary information that would assist us. And that does not mean that we doubt you as National Treasury. But then maybe National Treasury should assist us before I agree on the issue of ESCOM. In principle, I agree that we need to invite ESCOM here because this is actually an ESCOM report. But my view is when we invite ESCOM here, we need to have that is the correct information that would make us confident that the issues that we'll be asking, that is from ESCOM, are the correct issues. Maybe National Treasury should assist in terms of, because initially they agreed that what we have in front of us is a preliminary report. Maybe just to give us an indication as to when do they think that a final report would be available, so that when we engage with ESCOM, we engage with ESCOM with a full and comprehensive report, where we are not going to get answers where people would indicate to us that, no, we have not yet finalized that issue. My question to them is that, just an indication. I know it might be difficult, but if they do have a response that is on that, please would appreciate it.
All right, Comrade Boy.
No, I had encouraged you, Chair, to get us to get focused if there are questions on the report. But quite clearly, there is a problem, you see. You see, when you say to us, there are recommendations, and then you become selective about those recommendations, it does create a problem. It does cast an aspersion from other members. Treasury, I know that you have a record of being able to give us the full report in the full circumstances. And I thought that your interpretation of the Pricewaterhouse report, which is not your report, is a Pricewaterhouse report. You'll give us a full version. But you see the problem that is also itching other members is because this report has been long awaited. It's not been coming from Treasury, and Treasury has been complaining about ESCOM. And that delay urges all of us, makes us if they, and we read most of the things that we hear in newspapers, and the report doesn't come and be solid in front of us so that we can deal with it with scope. And you see, if we want to continue harnessing the close working of members, it's important for Treasury to provide the full information in the manner that it comes from PricewaterhouseCoopers, with no side showing, and give us the report and you go into the details. But we will encourage Chairperson, from where I'm seated, that Comrade Solly comes on, Solly always come, and the Treasury comes and always be part of our meetings. He has never missed any meeting that we have invited him into. Let's schedule a faster meeting between ourselves and Treasury and ESCOM, so that we deal with the matter as it is, you see. Fairness of justice is what is the point. But at the end of the day, let's deal with it. And let ESCOM come and answer what is this phrase. Because the question of Tegeta is being debated in the public space quite a lot, you see. And we would love to, before the Auditor General comes back with all these difficult reports, we're able to get into resolving those reports quite early. You are dealing us Treasury. If you deal with, and we were to ask for ourselves when we deal with Transnet, that when are you finishing your engagement with Treasury? That's why I'm saying that give a full reflection to the chair so that you could see that who is resisting. Because this is true what members are saying. It's not their money, and they don't want to be seen in collusion with certain departments, as if they themselves, in their own consciousness, wouldn't want to fight corruption. If there are problems, let us be taken through in the presence of all entities. That's all that they argue for, Chapter 7. And quite clearly, in an in-depth manner, bring OSCOM here. We will bring it to you, if, even if you don't want. We will bring both, Treasury will bring both you and OSCOM here, because we want to hear and get to the detail of the problem itself. On that matter, we're not even wavering. And it's not the only one. I think what we're going to do, Chairperson, whatever the problems are that Treasury is faced with, let them give us all those entities, and we say, Julian, and we ask parliamentary processes that we deal with these entities and finish up this responsibility that we're faced with, so that nobody second guess each other. Yes, if there's an other hand or an other interest in how we're prepared for this particular one. We have got quite a lot of questions, but quite clearly we'll be happier if both ESCOM and Treasury are in front of us and we'll be able to deal with this matter. So it means what Vincent had asked earlier, it overrules any other thing. The procedure from now is very clear that all the entities that Treasury have said they are going to give us a brief about would have to recall all of them and to be here with us, and we spend the whole day listening to them and challenging their issues. It's okay. Yeah.
All right. Smolanyan.
Smolanyan.
Okay.
No, Chair, maybe if National Treasury can also indicate to us or just take us in confidence on the areas of disagreement between them and ESCOM that delays, that is this report.
I think, comrade, your earlier suggestion at the beginning, I think that is what is going to help us. And National Treasury, I would want us to do this. Maybe from here, Dombi, we'll need to write National Treasury to say, in relation to Transnet, DNEL, PRASA, SABC, these reports, which you must go back to our last meeting with them, say in terms of the presentation you made to us as the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, these were the reports that we are dealing with, whose finalization we've been waiting all along. Where are you? What are the challenges? So then you then respond to us formally and say, Transnet, this is the problem we're having. And this is how long it has taken, and send us the correspondences, like you did with the SABC, and say this is what we have been doing to extract information which is not forthcoming, and then we can then from our side formally write to Transnet and say why are you not giving the information that has been sought all along, and assist you to get the information so that you can finalize the reports. I think for me, that is the valuable lesson that we're picking out of this exercise. Now, in relation to what we've had today, and clearly that was the intention of the exercise, my understanding, comrades, is that National Treasury has looked at the reports of PwC that were commissioned by ESCOM and given to ESCOM, and National Treasury is saying to us, this is what the reports were saying. The elements that might be of direct interest to SCOPA, they just extracted issues out of them and then went on to say, this is where they have not complied with the reports given to them a year later. And what they did not do, which under the circumstances I think has been very helpful, has been to then go and make their own observations about ESCOM, which could have created its own controversies. As I see it, they did not do that. They've given us what is in the PwC report only, not their own views. Because I see that Ross's question actually takes them in that territory to say, what have they observed? What do they think? They did not do that. So all they've given us are reports that were commissioned by ESCOM that are in the possession of ESCOM. So my direction, comrades, is this. We've seen the information, and I believe that there are a number of issues that ESCOM needs to clarify. No, we're not saying they're wrong. They must clarify, because even a person who has shot someone in public still has to go to court and be given an opportunity to present their side. So, it's fine. We'll give ESCOM the opportunity to come and say, here are the issues. As National Treasury has flagged out certain issues, it might as well be that when we read, we may flesh out more of our own that we may want to raise with ESCOM. And ESCOM will be able to clarify those things, and then everybody will be happy and will continue to have electricity, and everything is fine. I think that's how I see the process. I think there might be two or three questions that you may need to legitimately respond to. But I think a number of the questions that comrades asked were not technical. They are simple questions that ESCOM can and should be able to talk to so that they don't feel prejudiced by this process.
I think the invitation was
yeah,
very
clear
to
no.
say we must concentrate on the PricewaterhouseCoopers on the gate, and that's
no, that's fine.
Correct.
I'm saying let's not
correct.
Go there. Let's deal with the specific questions that might have been raised.
It's fine. Let me start just to give the 2008 supply chain management. And the 2010 and the 2011, when you read the report, you'll see Pricewaterhouse is referring to all of them. The 2008 report was saying if the shortage of coal, that would be regarded as emergency. And when you procure through emergency, they will use what we call unsolicited bid. In other words, a company can approach you, or you can approach one company, and you negotiate. Therefore, you lose the benefit of a competition. And that's what happened with all the four mines that were reviewed in this report, which is not a draft report, because it's not National Treasury report. It's a final report after management has commented. This was a PwC final report. That's why in 2016, they made a follow-up of the report that was issued in 2015. Which was no longer a draft. Then the contract that we are talking about was signed on the 10th of March 2015. And the initial, when you read, because we have provided the contract, the initial one, it was a $3.7 billion tender for 10 years, starting from 1 April 2015. To 2025. It commences on the 1st of April 2015. Then, in August 2016, ESCOM requested to expand that contract. The initial plans were around 13 million tons for 10 years. When they requested additional expansion in August 2016, they wanted additional 10 million tons. And we responded to them to say, because the quality of coal from the Brakfontein colliery has not been sorted out, we cannot support that extension. And we didn't support. Then, you see, with the Geta one, you must remember when they were running the initial contract that we were talking about, there was the procurement of the Optimum coal mine. I think you remember they bought the mine from Glencore, which was the optimum. That mine, the deal was finalized after June 2016. But from April, they made an advance payment of $659 million. This is the second contract. I want to clarify so that at least the committee is aware. And they were supposed to supply 250,000 tons a month for 6 months, up to the end of September. After, when they realized the contract was going to expire, end of September, they came to Treasury to say, we want to extend this contract for another 6 months, 250,000 tons a month, at 19.69 per gigajoule. And then we said no, because otherwise, if we don't have the benefit of the competition, we may be paying a lot of money. Then we advised them, said, we can allow you to do a close bid and go and invite certain mines, and these mines must compete. After you have received these proposals and the assessment you have done, you must give us the reports of that assessment to verify before you implement the contract, which they have done. And if you compare the 1969 that we were paying for that 250,000 tons, and you see the rate that we are being offered now after using the benefit of this competition, there's a big difference. Obviously, I will not indicate to you which rate now because we haven't finalized, but there's a big difference to show that immediately you forfeit the benefit of the competition, you pay exorbitant rates. That was the second contract with the GEC. But you would have read about another expansion which National Treasury, for example, said on condition 1, 2, 3, it was the Kwartfontein man, Komati Kwartza. They were saying, we want to buy coal from this mine without competition. And the question that we had for them was that, is this the only mine that is there? Because if it is not the only mine that is there, then you need to get proposal from the other mine. Then they came back the second time. They said, no, the issue with this one is that we are not going to use the truck to deliver the coal. Therefore, it will be cheaper because we'll be using those tires which they normally use. It's another third contract that you may have read about the GEC. I'm just clarifying the contract so that there's this Braamfontein Colliery, there's this Optimum, and there's this Kwartfontein. All these three, they came to us for using, in other words, they wanted to deviate from inviting competitive bids and only approach one supplier, which we said no, but on condition 1, 2, 3. Those, you may have read them in the media, but we have clarified. The problem that you see when you deal with the ESCOM and mineral resources and water and sanitation are very clear when you review the contract. What happened is that when you want prospect a mine, you go to mineral resources. They give you the mining license. This mining license was given in 2010. If you will see when you read, it was given in 2010. It started operating from 2010. I'm saying it's not in the report, but this mine started operating in 2010, 2011, 2013, 2014. They didn't have a water license. The water license was only issued on the 22nd of December, 2014. But obviously, that is the responsibility of water and sanitation. And when you read the reports from ESCOM, they will tell you, even if from this report, from the four mines, when you read Pricewaterhouse says, but why did you start engaging a supplier before they received a water use license? Because they can't operate a mine without a water use license. You see, they talk about the prerequisite or the pre-requirement to say, why did you engage, for example, the Geta, knowing very well at that time that they don't have a water use license. In other words, you should have waited and said, go and comply, and then come back to us after you've complied. But obviously the engagement was done, but the contract was only signed after they received the water use license. The water use license prescribed a lot of conditions about the use of water. It's a different document which we didn't attach, we can attach you. When they were given a lot of conditions. Some of the conditions you must meet them within 6 months, some of the conditions you must meet them after 12 months. And when water and sanitation, which is not ESCOM, when water and sanitation, because we engaged them to say, you said they must comply, when you go back and verify whether the mine is compliant. Then they went back in 2016, and when they went back to do the audit, which they gave us the report of the audit, which ESCOM may not have had if they didn't request it. But that was saying the mine didn't comply with 123, and we requested also the company to say, but this report says this is not, but now we are compliant. We have done our own thorough analysis, which obviously you will not see it here, because this is not a treasury report that we were presenting. We were only extracting issues that were in the PwC report. Therefore, the issue of water is very clear. It's sorted by water and sanitation, and they give conditions, and they do regular audits to say, are you complying as a mine? And the license, mining license, and the water use license, because they are issued differently, companies, not only this coal mine, when you read the report, companies take advantage that immediately I have a mining right. I start mining, even before, when I'm still waiting for the water use license from the water sanitation. Those are the problems that are there, which obviously, the policies that are there in ESCOM, ESCOM has got good policies. They are there in terms of SEM. If you read this report, even they are numbered, clearly numbered. They will tell you that there's this supply chain management policy which says you cannot deal, do business with a company that is not compliant. You have this and this. People who go and negotiate, they cannot negotiate unless they've declared their interest. It's there in the policy. And which is there in our documents, because even each and every member of the BAC or BEC, be it Evaluation Committee, be it Education Committee, you can't sit there if you didn't declare, because the problem is that if you sit there, the spec or the evaluation, obviously you pass information, or the company is close to you, which obviously they were not. But the issue is now the implementation of those policies. What Pricewaterhouse is saying is that you have this policy number, which says 123. But when you were signing this agreement, these policies were not implemented. And explain why, ESCOM, explain why. And which obviously ESCOM, not Treasury, ESCOM said, somewhere they said it was an oversight. Therefore, it means you are agreeing to say I was wrong, I didn't see that. Those areas, obviously, they will explain to say, what do you mean? But you see, there are some of the things which obviously I don't want to talk for them, but if you submit a report, it's very clear in government. When you submit a report for noting, it will be for noting. When you submit a report for approval, it's for approval. But if you say, I have submitted a report, and the committee says, no tech, you can't say it's approval. Unless if, but most of the government documents, they say, what are you seeking? Is it noting? Is it approval? Is it, but the confusion is there. And in this report, when you read it, you'll find that at the end, PricewaterhouseCoopers is saying they are not convinced with the reasons or the comment that was given. It's exactly the same when we deal with the irregular expenditure. Management is given the opportunity to comment, but AG was to say, yeah, despite your comments, we are not happy with this. That's why it's leading into irregular expenditure. The costing, if you are using unsolicited bid, you must know that obviously the supplier will demand. In this case, if I give you a background, when they started, they wanted 17 rand per gigajoule around September 2014.
And Eskom says no, but this rate is high. And then they reduced it to 13.50. When the agreement was signed, it was 13.50 per gigajoule for the Tegeta Brakpan day. Whereas for the optimum, it was 19.69 per gigajoule. Maybe Chair, you will assist me. I think most of the issues that we were supposed to respond to, ask questions for clarification,
right.
I think we'll cover this.
Yeah. can't see the sun. I don't know what time it is. All right. I want us to call it a day on the understanding that we will find time, even if it means affecting our program, to ensure that Eskom come. But I see Ross Shlengwa, Comrade Boy, you had your hand up, or you're fine.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a short question with regards to the value of the contracts. Can you give us perhaps an indication of the value of the contracts, whether that amount was inclusive or whether it was exclusive, and whether we're moving to the 7 billion rand or whether it was 4 billion?
And what?
In terms of the value of the contract.
I'm satisfied with the responses which you've received. I just, in finding the time in which to engage with Eskom and other relevant stakeholders, I would plead, Chair, that we get even in writing, if possible, an explanatory note from Water and Sanitation. One, in terms of the processing of applications for last turnaround time, so you can be able to establish, the timelines have been noted. And then, Chair, to get another aspect of the backlog of those, and then juxtapose that backlog or pending applications against whoever is operating. Because I think one thing I was sharing with Honorable Bartos, which you said to me now, is that these type of misdemeanors, which can be clearly be classified as corrupt behavior, for all intents and purposes, well choreographed, like a Beyonce concert, they are, planned somewhere, and, so I really think, so just assist us, Chair, to get Water and Sanitation to clarify us in terms of who in the zoo, in terms of what is happening.
Okay, Comrade, I thought it was going to be the last. Now let me give Comrade Knof.
Yeah.
No, I'm moving this way. Let me give you, and then I'll give him last.
Just saying thank you for the responses, but Chairperson, we have a problem with the kind of laws that you're passing in this parliament. That's why the implementation of those laws or acts is a problem. I hear what you are saying. I just went through quickly the internet and checking what are the requirements for one to have a mining license. And it does not talk about what we have just said, which is the right thing to do, what you are saying. So I'm saying, check your water and the environment. And it's not in the requirements. Like, if you have money, finance and some of the things that are required there, you can operate. So I'm just saying that some of the things that we need to iron out us as legislators to make sure that when we go down there and it becomes easy for anyone to do what they are supposed to be doing. So I was just flagging that, Chairperson. Thanks, Chair.
Report.
You know what Treasury must do? Because you have not given us your voice. And I still don't find why has the report taken such a long time not to be presented, if ever the PricewaterhouseCoopers report has always been available. you say you are talking about 2008. What you should help us with is it regulatory what they have violated, or is it the law, or is it an act? If you could just put it within your report, so that when we reflect, we know exactly which laws have been violated. See, you see, when we deal with the SAPC, we're able to tell you that they have violated the citizenship, because they've put it, the Auditor General has put it in as a report that the SABC doesn't recognize the laws, you see. And you see, SABC has been audited by a private company, and these are the consequences. You know, that type of information is available when you deal with the SABC. And what you are lacking in this one is that type of preview of insight that what is Treasury saying, you see. Not because we put you on spot, but we want to hear your view that what creates a delay for this report to have been such a long time that it's not been coming forward. Have they violated the rules, or have they violated the laws? Because I know that procurement centralized has just come in lately. What is the problem? Don't be afraid, as you always say, that tell us the truth so that you can deal with the truth, you see. So that there's no wishy-washy of the report. From 2008 up until now, what has been the challenges in relation to this one? So that the concerns that Honorable Kono is raising can also be accommodated within that type of a report, you see. But, I mean, as where we sit as honorable members, I mean, out of the trust that we always have with Treasury, there's a lot of information that has been forwarded to us. And members are up to speed to grapple with these issues, and their concerns will always remain legitimate, though some of them are quasi-lawyers to person. So you must understand when they talk about fairness of justice, you see.
Yeah. Fairness of justice. Yeah. All right. Comrades, may I suggest that when we adjourn, we stay and have just a small Anyana one amongst ourselves, and clear and ask everybody to leave us in peace, so we can discuss our issues. Womsanda, thanks very much. We Comrade Kekan, I hope you're not talking about me. Okay. No, we want to thank you very much. But like I said, we will forward National Treasury a formal letter in relation to these other elements, so that we're able to tie them down and don't leave them scattered. But we will certainly make a decision as a committee in terms of when we can interact further between ourselves, yourselves, and ESCO, and all other entities. Comrades, next week, Tuesday, it's the South African Social Security Agency. They will be talking to us to say, subsequent to the Constitutional Court ruling, what measures are in place to ensure that next year we don't have the debacle that we had this year, and then so that we can then be able to monitor, knowing what is it that we have agreed upon in terms of their implementation. But thank you very much, our comrades from Mangaung Metro. Yeah, I'm not sure whether that's you too, Pedi, but Realeboha, it's one language. Okay, thanks very much, comrades.